Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as He reveals a different perspective of His Word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at Don't Drink the Water. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of this time together, this time before You, this time in Your Word. We ask You, Father God, one more time to continue to show us Yourself through Your Scriptures. We ask You, Father God, to be with us as we look into the Word. And Father God, let that Word speak to us. Let it transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the other time we were looking at forgiveness, the superpower of forgiveness. And one of the scriptures we read in it is that question where Jesus asks, and He says, is it easier? He's talking about the layman. He says, is it easier to say, take up thy bed and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee? He's talking to the scribes, the Pharisees, etc. And I presume a lot of you know, I'm just fascinated by questions in the Bible. And that one has a tendency to just continue to ring and ring, or at least in my soul. It is not just a rhetorical question. On the superficial level, it's yes. If you've got the verbal powers to say one thing, you have the verbal powers to say the other. But one of the things that it sets up on a deeper level is the connection between healing and forgiveness. And a lot of times it's something we overlook. We all are to some degree tethered to this natural world, and I think especially in our society, far more so. It is much more a superficial world. It's much more a materialistic world, much more an immediate here and now world, and not as spiritual as some societies, some environments, some times and seasons. So it's easy to focus on those things. But if you begin to look at it, you will see that power of forgiveness is integral to that power of healing. So, but we think so much of the time of healing as being a physical thing. I have a broken leg, it needs healing. I have an upset stomach, it needs healing. I have a tumor in my brain, it needs healing. All these things are what we think of as healing. But you remember how we always have talked, you go back to the first time it's used. And we've also talked about how it is when in the scriptures that God reveals, when he reveals a certain aspect of his relationship to us, he reveals a different name. We've talked about that at length. I'll just quickly give you the, when God first appears in the scriptures, Genesis 1:1, he is Elohim, the creator, because that's what he's doing. As he begins to have relationship with his creation, he begins to reveal things. It was to Abraham when he was about to sacrifice Isaac. He's revealed as the Lord who sees. We always say it as the Lord who provides. Well, that's a beautiful thing. It's when the Lord sees our need, he provides our need. There was a ram in the bush. The next place where one of the, what we call the Jehovah's, the names of Jehovah, you know, added compound name. The next one is the Lord that healeth thee. Now, we've talked a lot about Genesis, and you know how I feel about that. Well, but the book of Exodus is the book of coming out. And so it's only fitting with what we're studying that the name of Jehovah, the healer, the Lord who heals thee, would be revealed in Exodus. Because to understand that, we have to understand where they were, what happened to them. We talked about superheroes, Jesus being a superhero with superpowers, and one of which was forgiveness, how powerful that is, and that we underestimate it. Well, in any kind of good superhero movies, there always are villains. Most Christians would automatically go, oh, well, it's Satan or the devil, etc. But even he has his minions. And the real enemies of our soul, often we don't identify, and yet the Lord will enumerate them. One of the places I love most for that is in Ephesians chapter 4. We talked about it last time when we were talking about forgiveness. Well, you maybe didn't hear that part, but anyway, that that we forgive because we've been forgiven. Anyway, and he says, and he tells us things that will be an enemy of our spirit. For example, let's see, 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. If you be angry, sin not. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. These are things that are our enemies. Rather, he will do something else. He'll work with his hands that he may have to give. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, that's going off in style in our day and age, isn't it? But that which is good to the use of edifying, not to tearing down, not to tearing apart. To edify literally means to build up. And when you stop and think about all the things that you hear, they do not build up. They tear down. They tear apart, don't they? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Okay. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, when you do that, look what happens. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the part we were looking at, the change between before, where we, like the Lord's Prayer, that we forgive that we may be forgiven, But now, under the liberty that we have in Christ, because we have been forgiven so much, we want to forgive. But there are a lot of enemies of our soul in there. And I want to focus on one particularly because it ties into this thing of forgiveness and of healing. And I think you'll see it by the time we're done. And that has to do with bitterness. Sometimes that's not something that we think about. We understand being angry. We understand lying. We understand, those things. And we know we shouldn't do them. But sometimes bitterness creeps up on us. Bitterness isn't a, how do I want to say this? Bitterness isn't a sin. Bitterness is a sickness. I want to turn to a place where we see this. If you will open your Bibles to, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel tells the story. It starts out right 1 Samuel chapter 1 about Elkanah and his two wives. Hannah, his first wife, whom he loved dearly, but she had no child. And then his second wife, Penina, who had multiple children, and they treated her, Hannah, terribly. Verse 6 says, and her adversary also provoked her sore. Now, the thing is, she was just pushed. She had her own sorrows, she had had her expectations in life. And the one thing you see about this is it says that her adversary provoked her sore. Most of us understand what that means. But what I love about Hannah is I don't know why it took so long, because many of those children were good and grown. But it says that her adversary provoked her. But if you look at what she does, she takes her complaint to the house of God. She lays before the Lord and she cries and prays. In other words, she was provoked, but not to despair. She was provoked to faith. What amazes me is that sometimes we endure such things for so long, and then all of a sudden we rise up in faith. Something would just becomes, when enough becomes too much, and there comes that turning point. The same thing is true of, an example of when the children of Israel are in Egypt, and they cry unto the Lord. And, you know, that was for 400 years they were there. They kept crying. But finally, enough was too much. And the Lord came down and said, I have heard the cries of my people. For some reason, Hannah took a long time to get there, but she went and prayed before the Lord. She had come to a point of discouragement, where you believe God, you have a dream, you have expectations, you work toward them, you expect them, you swallow disappointment, you swallow discouragement. When we think about bitterness, when you're young, hope, faith comes quite easily. We're optimistic by nature. But as life begins to take its toll on us, and we know we can't blame others because that wouldn't be right. We know we can't blame God because we know he's never wrong. And a lot of times we know we can't blame ourselves. We did nothing wrong in a situation, yet it seems unbearable. And so that thing turns inward on us, and that becomes a bitterness. I don't mean like grumpy old men or curmudgeon-y. But let's look at Hannah, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So they went up, verse 8, Elkanah and her husband, Hannah, why do you weep? And you eat not, she's crying, not eating. Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? He loved her very much. But sometimes one thing doesn't displace another. It says that she was grieved, all right? Now, we'll go on down. She rose up, verse 9, after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, Eli the priest sat upon the seat of post of the temple, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul is the thing, same thing as being grieved in our spirit. And it's not a matter of an accusation. It's not a matter of the sin. We all have expectations that sometime, if you live long enough, you will find, and we find ways to accept. We find ways to move on. We find ways to accommodate. But bitterness comes from those kinds of places. And so it's this long-standing encroachment in our soul. That's what we're going to look at today. And the irony is, and our point today, is that that is where, in that place, is where God revealed himself as a healer. It wasn't people who had blisters from walking all the way from Egypt to the promised land. It wasn't in, you know, I don't know, broken arms, and it wasn't in heaven, I don't know, whatever they may have had, whatever. I know they were kept pretty healthy as they walked along. But it wasn't physical healing in which he revealed himself. Now, I believe, and let me state categorically, I believe in physical healing, that God heals physically. But even in when he revealed himself in Isaiah, and that's what he quoted again in Luke, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me to do," and these were the mandate of Jesus, and one of which was to bring sight to the blind. Another one was to set the captive free, but one of them was to heal the brokenhearted. So even there, when we talk about healing, it is not just a physical healing. I thank God for physical healing, and God put it in this world to show us. It's a picture. Every time, you know, I don't know why, but lately I've been being real big at paper cuts and little knife cuts in the kitchen. My little fingers have been just got little sores on them all over. I don't know why, but I don't really, as long as I keep it clean, I don't really have to worry about it. It's not going to become gangrenous. It's not going to become necrotic. I'm not going to have it amputated. If it's clean, then the body is built to reject that illness. We were made. See, God, the same way God put white corpuscles in your blood to fight infection, God put hope down in your heart to fight discouragement. But sometimes, even like it may be with a cut in your finger, sometimes it gets the better of you and that little bit of finger gets infected. Then we have to clean it out, don't we? Sometimes it gets worse than that and that infection becomes systemic and then we have to take antibiotics. There is something to take care of it, but by nature we should repel these things. That's what we call our immune system. God has built in us spiritually an immune system. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, you know, kindness, mercy, long-suffering, patience. These things are part of our spiritual immune system. That's why he said, you know, as you forgive others, you're forgiven. Not that it's like a checklist that, well, God won't forgive you if you don't forgive others. But as you practice forgiveness, forgiveness is in your life. As you practice mercy, mercy is in your life. And so it is, we keep physically, you know, in the winter, sometimes some of you may take extra vitamin C or make sure you sleep enough because you want your immune system to be on high alert so that anything that comes with near you is repelled. Well, so it is with these things. But even then, every now and then, one of us will get, you know, our immune system gets overwhelmed and we get a cold or we get the flu or we get something else, upper respiratory infection. Sometimes we don't need much, but mom's chicken soup and a good night's sleep and a little bit of oranges and we'll be fine. Sometimes we need other medication. And so it is that our immune system spiritually, much of the time we bounce those things off, but they can be overwhelmed. Like Hannah had endured this disappointment, this discouragement, this all of that for so long that she became bitter, grieved in her heart, and weighed down. So what she did was take it to the Lord, and the Lord healed her. He healed her heart, and then what did he do? He opened her womb. He healed her physically, but more so, he healed that grief that was settling in on her. That's a pretty long introduction. I apologize. But let's open our Bibles now to the book of Exodus. This is where I wanted to go. When all week long I've been thinking about that verse where Jesus asks us, is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier? Well, the truth is, basically, they're the same question. And we need to understand that. So we're going to the book of Exodus. This is the first place the Lord gives himself that name, Jehovah Rapha, that is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. All right? So we're in Exodus. Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and they're marching along. And this is actually, they through the Red Sea, they sing their songs. So this is their very first encounter, the first thing that happens after they come out of Egypt. You know, all the glory of that. The very next thing that happens is we're in verse 6 or chapter 16. I'm going to read 22. Moses brought Israel out from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness ashore, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The thing I'm going to say is this was not the devil. This was God. This was Moses leading them. They came out. They had no water. They went 3 days further. That number is significant, and you know that. 3 days further and found no water. In other words, God wanted to make sure they were good and thirsty. It's easy not to let things get to us. It's easy to say you believe God to be your provider if you got all your bills paid and you got a good job. When something happens, like you lose your job or, you know, something else unexpected happens, some catastrophe that ties up your money, now let's see if that was just lip service or if God wants to show you something about being your provider, okay? Which is what he was in Genesis. We know that. The Lord who sees, the Lord who provides. So Moses brought them 3 days into the wilderness, and they found no water. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So we've got that word in there three times. Marah, Marah, bitterness, bitterness, Marah. Got it? If you remember when Naomi and Ruth come back to Bethlehem, and all the women gather around her, and they say, oh, Naomi is back. And remember, Naomi meant pleasant, right? She had had so many disappointments, so many things that happened. She'd lost her husband. She'd lost both her sons. She came back. She went out full, she said, and came back empty, endured a famine, the loss of everything. She came back as a widow and as a beggar. And they said, Naomi, which means pleasant. She said, call me no longer Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Lord, she said, hath dealt bitterly with me. And that's another whole story. We'll do that one sometime. I don't know, this one's sort of ending up being too long for one time. But anyway, the waters were bitter, and they were good and thirsty, and they could not drink, okay? And so they cried, "What shall we drink?" He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast the tree into the water, the waters were made sweet. Not just not bitter, but sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and he proved them. Okay? And that's when this, it's immediately after this, this scripture we all quote all the time, you know, that he says, if you will follow me, and if you'll do right in my sight, and if you give ear to my commandments and my statutes. Now remember, they don't have the Ten Commandments yet, but he's telling them. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Verse 27, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water. Immediately, see, they went out into the wilderness and they found no water. Once they had gone through the waters of Marah, that is taking the waters that were bitter and making them sweet, they immediately went on to Elim, where there were, what is it? There were 12 wells of water. Again, that number is significant for are the tribes, correct? And 70, that number you can figure out yourself, palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. They camped out by the water. Our time is too short for me to go back and prove each one of these things to you, but water always is significant of life. It isn't always the highest life, but it is life. And that's why we've talked before, you can hardly hit a chapter of the scriptures where water isn't in it one way or another. But the waters were bitter. Now, I suppose most of you listening to me didn't grow up in a farm or in that kind of rural environment, which I did. And then when living in Africa, it's the same thing. When you have a well, you keep that well covered, because when something falls in it, like a carcass, like say, an animal were to be drinking water and die, and it's in the water, it pollutes, and that's the word we use. It pollutes the water, and it takes a very long time for that to be able to be consumed by, because it has got so many poisons in it, you know, and it's got bacteria, and they breed things, et cetera, not to mention it looks bad and smells bad. Well, there are things, if we look at our life, we are this well of water, this pond, this river. When things fall into it, then it becomes corrupt, it becomes poisoned, and what that does is it becomes bitter. When they were in Egypt, so many things from the Egyptian life stuck to them. And remember, they, you know, everybody's heard the phrase, you can take them out of Egypt, but you have to take the Egypt out of them. They were very used to a different mindset. They had to have their minds cleared of that. This is the same thing. Egypt had changed them, and they needed healing. They needed to have that refreshment, just the same way Hannah needed that healing from her bitterness, from her discouragement, from her disappointments, from all the rough stuff she'd endured, so that then she was healed internally and she could be healed externally. I'm going to very quickly, because I know I'm way over time today, but I'm having a good time, read in 2 Kings chapter 3. You might want to mark this down. 2 Kings, chapter 2, I apologize. 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is one of the notable miracles of Elijah, okay? The men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant." Again, that's kind of like Naomi, right? And as my Lord seeth, the water is not, and the ground is barren. The water is bad, and because of it, nothing grows. This happens in a spiritual life. We may be a child of God, but because something has poisoned the waters, then the land becomes barren. In other words, we don't grow, we don't produce. Jesus talked about the sower sows the seed, and when it sows on certain ground, it produces. On certain ground, it doesn't produce. It's not the fault of the soil, but if we got to do something about it, you know, it just plain won't grow. He went forth unto the spring of waters. I'll back up a little bit. He said, bring me a new cruse, put salt therein. They brought it to him, and salt again, you know, your speech be seasoned with salt, the covenant of salt. These are very important and meaningful imagery. He put salt in it, cast the salt there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I've healed these waters. He didn't say I've purified them. He didn't say I've cleansed them. He said, I've healed these waters. There shall not from henceforth be more death or barren land, for the waters were healed unto this day. There's a healing when something has fallen in, or for whatever reason. This is the place back in Exodus, we'll flip back to Exodus, where God does this notable miracle, and then he says to them, he says, you know, my name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's where he revealed himself. We've talked about this before. When you know somebody, every time you know a different name for them, it represents a different relationship. For example, maybe you know you know somebody at work, and you know him as, oh, it's Mr. Jones. Hey, Mr. Jones, how's everything going? And you're both pleasant. Thank you, Mrs. Smith. Everything's fine. Well, then you kind of get to be, but you find out you both are children of God, and you decide you're going to start praying together once a week, and you go, oh, so now he's not Mr. Jones, but he's Brother Calvin, okay? Brother Calvin, you know? Okay, so now you have a different relationship. One was a work relationship. This is a spiritual relationship. So maybe, you know, Brother Calvin gets to be your good buddy. You know, you guys hang out together and go to movies and stuff, and you may not call him Brother Calvin every time. You now have a close, personal, intimate relationship, and you give him a nickname. You may call him Cal, or you may call him something else entirely that has to do with, you know, Bubba, or I don't know. That nickname then becomes a sign of a different relationship. I've used the example that my mother was my own first grade teacher. In school, she was Mrs. Miller. At home, she was Mommy. All my life, I'd known her as Mommy. When I went to school, she became Mrs. Miller. I learned about her in a different relationship, so I had a different name. He had been their Lord, but it is in this place in Exodus where he became the Lord that healeth thee. And what he healed was bitter waters. It is a bitterness of life. They had gone through so much in Egypt. It wasn't enough to escape Egypt. They had to be ready for the promised land. And so much of the time we so focus on the one thing, just getting out of where we've been, that we don't focus on being ready to go where we are to go. And I know I've covered a lot of territory, but I do have at least one or two more things I want to talk about, this thing of bitterness and healing the bitter waters. And you can see now, he always is using the term of healing. That's why when we say, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Forgiveness brings healing. You know, if you have a relationship, like a close relationship with a friend or husband and wife, when you've wounded each other, see the terms we use? When you've hurt each other, see that term? When we've been unkind, when we've been cruel or just mindless or thoughtless, not intentionally. But when we go back and ask to be forgiven, or when somebody's hurt us and we just forgive them, we just say, you know, it must have been a bad day or whatever it is. I know that's not who they are. They're a child of God. And we just forgive. What does it bring? It brings healing to the relationship. That's why we so underestimate. Everybody wants to have these big, powerful healing ministries. And as I said before, I believe in healing. But the most powerful healing ministry is the ministry of forgiveness. It's the ministry then of kindness and caring. And many times the people whom I have known who truly have a gift of healing, and I'm not talking about just laying on hands, but I'm talking their soul is gifted as healers. They are so kind. They are so gentle. They are so forgiving. There's healing in them. But I want us to look at one more thing about this as we kind of wrap this up. And that is that something was entered into the water and it permeated the water. If you want to think about this, and if you want to go do this, you can. Go get yourself if you got a clear glass or a measuring cup or something with water that's glass clear that you can see it. It's white. I mean, clear. It's not even white. It's clear. Then you take a little eyedropper of food coloring. Take nice bright red food coloring. Okay? And you just put one little drop in it. It isn't, you cannot go and fetch that one drop out, can you? It permeates all the water. All the water becomes pink. If you do it in one cup and you put one drop, it gets pretty red. If you take a gallon and you put the same drop in, it won't be as red, but there's still as much, and it goes to all the corners. It's not like, you know, we think about this phrase, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out, you know. If your arm offend thee, cut it off. There are some things that when they enter into our soul, you can't get them out. We talked before about little cuts. If you get a splinter, you can pull that splinter out and it'll begin to heal, okay? But when you put something into the waters, it goes throughout the whole waters. And so those things, those discouragements, those disappointments, those broken dreams, those things that we don't understand, those hurtful things others have done to us, and it seems like they've gotten away with it, or those wounds that we've gotten in church when a pastor has used us or a ministry has just drained our finances or whatever it may be that has wounded you, it doesn't stay in that one area. It affects you entirely, all of your soul, just the same way that food coloring goes into all the water. You can't just get that one thing out. There are some things in sins, it says, you know, if you stole, just quit stealing. Boom, that's it. You know, if you lied, just quit lying. But with bitterness, it affects all your soul. It permeates you. That's why in both of these examples that we read, when the waters were bitter, God told Moses to get a tree and put it in. Now, we can get real symbolic and say it's the cross of Calvary. I'm okay with that. Somebody else could say, oh, there's a certain kind of herb, maybe, you know, like eucalyptus or rosemary or something growing that they put into the water and it clarified it, purified it. That's also okay with me. All I know is that it required, see, both of them have an imagery. One was a tree, which has to do with life. Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Then also the tree of eternal life. Then, but the other one, the other example with Elisha, had to do with salt. And we know that, we know a lot of all the meaning of what salt is. So regardless of what it is, the point I'm making is something has to be added. There are times when we feel something and it's like, I just got to quit being like this. Just come on, Lauren, quit being so grumpy with everybody. Start being nice again. Or come on, Lauren, quit being discouraged. Come on, Lord's on his throne. Get up. Just keep believing God. But it doesn't work because I'm trying to just take out the bitterness the same way I would take out a splinter. But it has permeated all of my system. So now something has to be added, whether it be the tree, whether it be the salt. We know that it is the goodness of God. It is the love of God. One way or another, it is the sacrifice of Calvary that has to be added to us, that it neutralizes, that it turns. It doesn't just stop you from being bitter. It said it turned the bitter waters, what? Sweet. The salt in the water turned it from being just not good water to that everything that it touched grew. So I'm not going to get specific to tell you what it may be in your life, but I absolutely know that God has the capacity to add something to your life. And by adding that, it's going to eradicate that lingering thing that has been little by little taking away the vitality in your soul. It's just the same way Hannah wept before the Lord. The prophet came over and prophesied to her. Her soul was healed and refreshed. She went home, conceived, and while Penina had multiple children, none of us can name any of the children of Penina, but how many Samuels do you know? How many Sams are there? What, they're named after that prophet. Hannah only had one child, but that child became monumental. That child became heroic. That child became one of those things that becomes iconic, that has lasted even after the prophet is gone. His name lives on, not just in the scriptures, but you go into a classroom or go into a business office, and I dare you to find that there isn't somebody named Samuel, or as a child named Samuel, or an uncle named Samuel, that it has become. So even though it was born out of bitterness, it was made so sweet that it was far better than what it would have been. I know that I'm waxing a bit now, but I want you to understand that for all the bitterness there was healing. And what came after that healing was so much better for all of them. They left the land of slavery and poverty and discouragement and despair. They didn't just go, if I could only get into a better land. They had all that bitterness healed from them. The Lord showed them, and none of these diseases will come upon you. So it was for Hannah. So it was for the men with Elisha. And so it is for all of us. There's power in whatever it is God will add to your life that will neutralize and transform and do something fantastic in those areas where bitterness has begun to creep in. There is forgiveness. Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, be thou healed? The truth is, they're one and the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this time in your word. Father God, we ask you to touch each one of us in those areas where we need to be touched. Thank you, Father, for reminding us that you are the Lord that heals us. Thank you, Father God, as we receive that we see a transformation in our lives because you have always been and will always be the healer of broken hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Looking forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him.